Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's good to see you today. A beautiful day. Can't think of a better place to be together with God's people. Thanks for coming, bringing the spirit of worship. Today is, we're still in the season of Pentecost, but on a national level, it is, this Sunday is Father's Day. So we got some nice looking fathers out there today. We are thankful for you and all you mean to your families, the community, and all the things you do to make life special. And let's look at a few announcements before we begin. Miss Caroline wants to say something about Ladies Auxiliary tomorrow night.
Okay, I'd like to encourage all the ladies to come to the auxiliary tomorrow night. We have a guest speaker, Linda Herring. She's dynamic. She's really funny. And she'll bring a lot. She'll lift up your spirits. I'd like to have a good turnout for her. So invite your sisters, your neighbors, anybody you want to. Just invite everybody to come see her and come to auxiliary meeting. We'll have her as a speaker. We won't necessarily have a business meeting, but she's. I'd like to have a good turnout for her. Thank you.
So on Thursday the 22nd at 10 a.m., it'll be Bible study here, and Saturday the 24th at 6 p.m., the Deep Run Parade, fireworks at 9. Deacons will meet Tuesday on the 20th, 7 p.m., and Michael has something for us this morning.
If you're looking in your bulletins, at the bottom, there's a mission, the proposed vision and mission statement. I got asked if I was head that up. After a while of putting it off and we finally scheduled a meeting, and it just so happened that at the right time that I had my issues with my feet and I couldn't walk. So I called Johnny and asked him if him and Pam would head it up or start it off. And they did. They got it started. And then I came along back and joined. Anyway, there's a lot of work put into it. We read each and every suggestion that y'all did, and Mr. Pam actually went as far as we found that there was most everything was saying the same thing. So Mr. Pam broke them down and categorized them into how many times this was mentioned, how many times, you know, and that's how we came up with what we got. They were all basically saying the same thing as far as, you know, serving Christ and reaching the community and serving the community. And anyway, that's how we come to the conclusion. We didn't pick the first one. We actually thought we had it nailed two or three different times. And then somebody would come up with a different idea and we would work it in. And we actually probably changed it three or four different times before we finally come up with what we've got here. So we want to present that to the people to look over, and then we talk about it at the official board meeting, and then if everybody is good with it, we'll adopt it into, I think that's one of the last things we're working on the cops, well, not the Constitution, but
the
bylaws. So any input, if it, you know, and I want to mention the committee right quick. It was Pam and Johnny, Ms. Shirley Griffin, and Dennis Hill, and myself.
Jennifer Collins.
And Jennifer, yes. Yeah, we, Jennifer came, we asked, she kind of come in there for later on, but we kind of wanted a diverse group, and I think we have a pretty diverse church. So any suggestions, get with one of us on the committee and see, but if not, we will discuss this at the board meeting and at the, and vote on it at the official business.
Nominating committee is still in the process of completing their report, so if you hadn't got them, your nominees to Dennis, please get that done as soon as possible. Do we have any other announcements?
This is not an announcement. Those of you who were not at Bible school, you missed it. We need to give Melissa and Jared a great big vote of thanks because they were wonderful. He was her right-hand man, literally. So, they did a great job, and the
Any others? Okay, let's begin worship. Stand together and let's read the responsive reading. Were y'all going to do something for Father's Day? We'll do it right now then. All right.
Sit back down, please.
Fathers of the Bible, Joseph, a man of truth who served the Lord all the days of his youth. Abraham, a man of faith who trusted God and believed what he saith. Joshua, a man of courage, no giants or men could ever discourage. David, a man well beloved, although a fine king, by his foes still unloved. Moses, a man called of God, a deliverer of Israel with the use of a rod. Fathers of the Bible were strong, brave, and true. They are such fine examples of faith for me and you. Today, God gives us fathers to help to guide the way, to instruct, advise, and teach us how to pray.
Nine oh two three three four four. Nine oh two three three four four. 902-3348.
All right, let's stand and read our responsive reading. We are God's church.
We come together to worship.
He has given us His word.
We come together to learn from Him.
He has filled us with His power.
We go out to bring others to Him.
He has called us into His family.
We come together to share our lives.
He has put His words on our lips.
We go out to tell the world about Him.
He has given us His Spirit.
Come together to celebrate.
He has showered us with His riches.
We go out to share His goodness with others.
He has freed us from our past.
We come together to move forward.
He has planned for us a glorious future.
We go out to live our lives to please Him.
We are God's church.
We come together to worship.
Father, we're thankful we can be here today and that You're here in our presence as we worship You. Help us to separate our hearts and minds from the cares and the concerns of this world to focus upon You, our source of life and health and strength. The God who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Help us to bask in that love this morning and fill us with Your presence that we can truly be Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to Him 404, sing verses 1 through 3. 404, 1 through 3, Faith of Our Fathers.
Thank you.
seated. Billy has our scripture reading.
Be stubborn. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day. It's a good day to say happy everything to everybody. Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalms 116, 1 through 2. And this is the NIV version. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. And then Psalm 116, 12 through 19. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And the New Testament reading comes from Romans 5, 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's good news, good news. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, we remember, we pray together, remember those who need prayer listed on the back of your bulletin, or many names. Keep those in prayer this week. Do we have any other names you need to call? Yes.
George LaRoque.
George.
LaRoque. George.
George LaRoque.
The family.
Okay, the family. All right. Any others?
We had two prayer calls this week for Bobby Gray, Bethany's brother, and for Carlos Cannon's son, the guy who's tuned our hand here for years. His son had a severe stroke.
Okay. Any others? Yes.
Tammy Kay, she's having surgery this week. Brent Sutton, who's having some heart issues. And Sandy's father, Marvin's having back surgery this week.
Any
Dempsey
others?
Hill.
Who?
Dempsey Hill.
Dempsey Hill, okay. Mm-hmm.
And y'all will just all send me and let me get the names, because I'm terrible at catching them right in the mail. Yeah.
So if you have any names you want listed, please write those down, spell them correctly on a sheet of paper, and get those to Selena, please. Okay. Any others?
Pray for our country.
Yes. All right, let's take action together as we pray. Father God, I'm humbled by the fact that you always hear our prayers, all of them. You always have an answer. And you always know in advance everything that we need, even before we ever ask. We know you know all these names have been called, all these situations, for those who are sick, those who have lost loved ones. You know every need. And it's during this time that we just lay ourselves before you and just feel your presence. Thank you for your spirit that bears witness with our spirit, that we're yours. And you've proved it by giving your son Christ to die for our sins. Thank you for all that you do for us. Especially as we confess our sins for forgiving us, cleansing us, reconciling us to you, and giving us times of refreshing to build our courage, our boldness, and our strength. Bless all we do as we worship today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to 455. Stand as we sing. 455, I am a man. Now it says up there the men are to sing this song in unison. So women, I'm not going to make you sing. But if you feel like singing, you can. And we'd be glad to have you join us. So stand together. 455 verses 1. 2 and 3, I am a man.
I am a man.
Amen. Maybe seated. Doxology. Be seated. Our scripture today comes from Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It's a very short verse, but it packs some power in it. It simply says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." We're in the season of Pentecost, and that is a time when, you know, we look in the scriptures and we see how God's Spirit was poured out on those early believers, how the church began, and how the church made its mark on the world, which was a pretty big mark for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. So our thought today is, as we're in Pentecost, and this verse of scripture is, our thought is master living. Have you ever thought of what it takes to become a master of something? Have you ever thought about what that means? You know, you've heard of people that have master's degrees. You ever heard of that? How many of you guys play golf? They have a golf tournament called the Masters. I never seen you on there, Greg. I mean, it's not that a master of anything can do something that you or I can't do. It's that the master does something almost anyone can do, but they do it much better than the rest of us. In other words, I can throw a football from about here to the door in a nice tight spiral, but you get that thing to Tom Brady, he could probably throw it from here to deep run. I mean, with pinpoint accuracy. I mean, he's good enough. He's master enough to have over a half a dozen trips to the Super Bowl. That's the thing about mastery. It's not that masters at a craft or doing things no one else can do. It's that they do something almost anyone can do, but their mechanics in this simple task are so spot on that they perform in a league of their own. It's the same way in the Christian life. Those who excel in the cause of Christ, those who excel in the kingdom of God, those who excel not because they can do spiritual things that no one else can do, but because they do spiritual things that anyone can do. Yet they do them with such consistency and such precision that they're able to experience the power of God in a way that most people don't. I'm saying that great Christians, effective Christians, they are so because they excel in the basics. It'll always be that way. Masters are masters because they master in the basics. And a master will always be a master of the basics. We never outgrow our need for the basics in the Christian life. And just as we're saved by the grace and the mercy of God, we grow by the grace and the mercy of God. It is God's dream for each of us that we grow up in Him, that we become spiritual giants, so to speak, masters of the Christian life. And the only way that can happen is if we keep our feet firmly planted in the basics. You can't make your mark on the world until God makes His mark on you. And this means you need to become a master at the craft of Christian living. Now, this isn't about learning some secret code or some far-out spiritual principle that no one but the spiritual elite can know. It's about learning to excel in the basics, mastering the mechanics of the first fundamental steps in the Christian life. And now this mastery will take you all the way to the finish line. Hallelujah. It'll get us there. In the very early days of the church, Peter and John were on their way to the temple one afternoon to pray. I can just see them now walking along on that dirt path, getting there. I'm going to the temple. They were going to pray. It was their custom to do that, and they were going. They were faithful to it. They had been told to do it, and they were on the way to pray, and there were some people. I can see him now carrying this crippled man, and they set him outside of the entrance so he could beg from people who were on their way that evening to go and worship. And when Peter got there, he saw him, and he told him, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but as I have thee, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And the Bible says that Peter took this man by the hand, and he raised him to his feet, and he was healed. And he went throughout the temple and the courtyard, walking and leaping and praising God. Now I can imagine, now you know, it drew quite a crowd, and I can imagine those people there were so amazed. They had seen this man. They had heard him beg and cry, and he was without, and he was in need, and he wanted, and you know, some of them may have given him, some may have kind of turned their head and went around, you know. I'm sure they knew this guy. And now here he is praising God. He's walking and he's leaping. And, you know, they were amazed that this miracle had happened. So Peter took the opportunity to preach a sermon. How about that? And in the sermon, Peter told his listeners about Jesus. He told them about this same Jesus that they had been put to death a few weeks, and that he lives again, he's risen from the dead, and he is the Lord, and it is through his power that this man was healed. Not Peter's, but it was through the power of Jesus Christ, this resurrected Jesus, man had been healed. And then Peter extended an invitation to him to accept a new way of life, to experience a new kind of relationship with God. A relationship not based on the Old Testament way of doing things by ritual, but based on the life and death and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. Peter told him in just a few words how to begin this new life. And as we look closer at Peter's word, we'll see that he's not just talking about a one-time event, such as walking down the aisle or filling out a card or joining a church or being baptized. He's talking about a lifestyle. There's a difference. Peter here in this sermon was talking about a lifestyle that we need to pursue every day of our lives that leads us to becoming masters of the Christian faith. Verse 19, we read it. Repent then, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. This one verse reveals the basic steps we must master in order to become masters of the Christian faith. The first word is repentance. Repent then, he said. Repentance is a heavy word. Not many people wake up in the morning and say, "Oh boy, I got to go ahead and repent today, you know." Anybody do that? I think so, man. It's a heavy word, you know. We kind of, all kinds of things run through our mind when we hear the word repent or repentance. How many of you think about the guy that's standing on the street corner down there in Jacksonville with his great big sign that says repent? You know, they're down there all over the street corners down there. I'm not judging this guy, but, you know, some people, when you hear some repent, you see somebody holding a big sign hollering, repent. Or maybe when you think about you repent, you say, "Well, man, I don't know about this repent, you know. It's going to stop me from having fun." Anybody ever thought that? I didn't think none of y'all did. But even Christians, you know, sometimes we really don't get what repentance is. Some people think that, you know, when you repent, it means that you got to feel guilty. You know, and that's part of it, but that's not close to being all of it. And, you know, feeling guilty is a necessary part of the process, because feeling guilty means that we're taking the first step towards coming to grips with our behavior and what it means. But repentance takes the idea a step further. Repentance, it means you're ready to do something about it. And I guess that's the part of repentance that kind of gives us a little negative view of it. Maybe so to speak. The Greek word for repentance is a word, it's a compound word that means to change your mind and change your attitude. Expository Dictionary of the Bible says that repent is to make a decision that changes the direction of your life. So when you think about it, repentance is the ultimate self-help term. I mean, it's the ultimate pursuit of excellence term. Repentance means that you come to grips with actions and attitudes of yours that are not good, that aren't right, and you accept responsibility for doing something about it. You know, this is something we should do every day, isn't it? Recently, I came across the quote about Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, and this quote is from David Glass, who was the former CEO. And this is what he said about Sam Walton. He says, "There's never been a day in his life since I've known him that he didn't improve in some way every day." You know what that is? That's repentance. Repentance means that you've identified something in your life, something that needs to change, and you made the decision to change it. So really, repentance is good for us. Repentance, you know, it just doesn't mean, well, I used not to believe in Jesus, now I'm going to start believing Jesus. It is that. But it's much, much more. Repentance is, I used not to believe in Jesus, and I believe in Jesus. And I'm his follower. And I invite the Holy Spirit to reveal to me those things about me that need to change so I can be more like Jesus every single day. You see, that's why we say it's not a one and done experience. It's an again and again until you win experience. It's a daily experience. You keep doing it until you get it right if you're going to be a master of the faith. One essential step to mastering the Christian life is to repent every day, and maybe sometimes we may have to repent multiple times a day, haven't we? Every day of our life, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal those things that we need to change. You know, see, being a Christian is all about change. Every day we're being changed to be more like him. It's not the opposite. Some people in churches fight change. They're happy with tradition. They're happy with the way they've always been. They're happy with doing the same old, same old. They're happy with all of those, and they don't want to change. But repentance, it's all about change. It's all about being like him. And if it's not like him, we do those things that we have to do to be. We turn so we can be more like him. And it means we're every day ready to face up to our actions, our attitude, to take responsibility to do something about it. All right, that's enough on repentance. Number two, the second word we'll look at is called reconciliation. Reconciliation, it says in verse 19, turn to God so your sins may be wiped out. So this is reconciliation that is based on forgiveness. Other translations say that your sins may be blotted out. The Greek word here means to literally to be erased, to be etch-a-sketched. Anybody ever played with an etch-a-sketch? You know, I get on that thing, boy, and the more I turn the knobs, the worse it looks. And I'm so thankful it can be blotted out or etched out when I shake it. That's the hardest thing to deal with I've ever tried to use there. But in this day here, there was a type of papyrus, a type of ink that was used for the purpose of temporary documents. You could write on it later, you could blot it or wash it away. And it would, without leaving a trace, and it was ready to be used again. That's the thing here. You know, it's etched out, blotted out, so it could be used again. Ready to be used again. You get that? And that's what God does for you and me. In our sins, it's impossible for him to use us. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to do it our own way. And we're pretty much just not going to pay him any mind. And that's why he calls us sinners, I guess. And but what God does for us is he forgives our sins in Christ Jesus. He blots them away so our page is clean. And we can start the rotting process of a new chapter over, a new story where our lives can begin. And you know that scripture, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why does God do that for us? Because he wants us to be a master of the faith. He wants us to be just exactly like Jesus Christ. And we repent and turn. It is then that he reconciles us and he wipes away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And the process is that going through this process, each and every day, we become more and more and more like Christ. Now, that's not why he forgives us. He forgives us because he loves us. But that's how God's forgiveness works. His forgiveness is total and complete. It's about more than just having our sins X'd out. It's about being brought into a reconciled relationship with him. And you all know what it's like to be in a relationship with someone where you're not reconciled, don't you? It's difficult. It's hard. It takes a lot out of you, don't it? And God don't want us to be in a relationship with Him like that. He wants us reconciled. Just like repentance, this forgiveness, this reconciliation is not just a one and done experience. It's an everyday thing. Every day we need to face the forgiveness issue. Is there any sin in my life I need to confess? Is there any sin that's hindering me from my walk with God, with Jesus? Is there any sin in my life that's creating problems in my relationships towards my spouse, towards my kids, towards my co-workers, towards the people in the church? Is there anyone who has offended me that I need to forgive? Am I holding a grudge against anyone? Every day, we must face this forgiveness issue with God and with others so we can live reconciled lives. Now, preacher, why? Why do we need to do that? It's because of this third thing. The third basic. It says in verse 19 that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I love that phrase, times of refreshing. Have you ever worked hard all day, maybe in the yard or the back of patch? You're covered dirt, sweat. You just old tater ridges all around the back of your neck. Your hair all just pure disaster. You couldn't wait to get in there and get that bath. Huh? Anybody ever done that? Wasn't it so refreshing to get in there and get that good shower and everything? Just cleaned all up. That's good, isn't it? Times of refreshing. And that's what the spiritual life is about. This spiritual life of God. This life of living in a reconciled relationship with God. And about repentance and reconciliation. It is so that times of refreshing in the spiritual life may come. It refreshes us. It renews us. Rejuvenates us. And that's what God wants for all His people. That they live a life that is refreshed. You know, that's what won the world. That's what their mark that was made on the world was won by. They saw people who were refreshed in a relationship with God. They saw, those people are different. They're not a bunch of burned out people who have no hope and complaining about everything in life. These people are filled with praise. These people are different. This relationship that they have with God is making them to be people that's really got our attention. And we would really want to be like them. That's what God wants for us to live a life that's refreshed. How do we get there? I like the way the New King James Version says. It says, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's how we're refreshed. When we spend time in God's presence. If your car tears up, you don't carry it to the bakery, do you? Carry it to the mechanic, somebody that knows how to fix it. God knows how to fix us. God knows how to take care of us. I would imagine that everyone here today knows what it's like to be spiritually and emotionally dry, to be spiritually and emotionally just thirsty. To feel like your tank is empty and you got nothing left. Everyone knows what it's like and knows how it feels, because that's what life does to us sometimes. It just saps us of every bit of strength, every ounce of energy that we have, and gives us nothing back in return. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of living the entire life always on empty, or worse than that, always running a couple of quarts low. You ever heard the sound of an engine with no oil in it? Anybody? We got a few witnesses out here. Well, I'll tell you, without oil, the knocking gets louder, huh? And if you don't stop, it soon will stop, because it'll lock up completely. It's got to have oil to keep going. And yes, oil is expensive. But let me tell you something, it's cheap compared to a new engine. So you want to make sure you keep your engine running with enough oil, right? The spiritual life is the same way. Psalm 92:10, David said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." He was talking about his, when he was there in the presence of God. And in 23rd Psalm, he said, "Thou, God, anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over." And he's talking about being in the presence of God, and God refreshed him and anointed him with so much oil that it just run over. I mean, that's good, isn't it? That's good. And a guy wrote a song one time about living and drinking from the saucer. He was talking about God gave so much that what rolled over out and fell down into the saucer. That was enough for him to live a life of abundance. And there's something about being in the presence of God that just charges your battery up, and it just quenches your thirst, and it fills your tank to overflowing. And I tell you, if you feel like your gas or your engine's about to give out on you, you need to allow yourself to be anointed with the fresh oil of the presence of God. And just like repentance and reconciliation, this is not a one-and-done experience. Guess what? It's an everyday event. And it's an essential part of mastering the Christian life. This is what we see modeled in the life of Jesus. Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places where he could pray and be there in the presence of God. And if it was important for Jesus to do, guess what? Yeah, it's important for us. Spending time in God's presence refreshes our spirit like nothing else. So in conclusion, Chris, it takes more than just being able to drive a straight nail to be a master builder, don't it? You got to be able to measure, don't you? Accurately. Huh? What did they say? Measure twice, cut once? There's a lot of things involved in being a master builder, more than just a straight nail. A master builder never outgrows his need for the basics. Neither does anyone who intends to master the Christian life. Folks, today we need a church that's filled with master followers. We'll never fulfill our God-given vision. Content being spectators of the faith, we must be masters at doing the work that Jesus has called us to do. For this reason, we need to make it a daily endeavor to attend to these three basic things in the Christian life: repentance, reconciliation, and refreshing. Because we'll never make our mark in the world until God has made his mark on us. And I can assure you, this is the reason he sent Jesus to die for us. To save us so that we can make our mark on being a master Christian and doing the work that he's called us to do. Father, we thank you today for your word. And it's so simple. But it's a small verse of scripture we must be willing to implement into our lives. Give us the desire and the want to do it daily, that you can change us into the person you created us to be, and to magnify Jesus and live in kingdom power in this day and age in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 793, stand as we sing, verses 1 and 3, for the beauty of the earth.
For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the sun.
Again, thank you all for coming to bring the spirit of worship during the season of Pentecost. Fathers, have a great Father's Day the rest of your day. Enjoy it. Does anybody have anything to say before we leave? Okay, let's bow our heads as we're dismissed. Chris, would you dismiss us?
Nourish us and protect us.